All right, this is Pure Decking for Thursday. I have been drinking. What the hell is today? According to all the electronic devices, it's Thursday, August the 16th, 2096. I'm Morps. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, pointing out that you only have so many fucks to give. And I fucked up my show intro template, apparently, because I think I'm missing a bullet point. yeah, somehow I've lost the middle bullet point, and I don't remember what it was. Information security, and pointing out that you only have so many fucks to give, so try to save one or two in case you need it. I've already introed myself, and tonight, I have Syntax. Syntax, hi. How's your conflu?
It's on the verge. Hopefully, I will beat it off with Australia and Svedka vodka.
Psychros straight. Is claiming we're quiet on the stream. I was screwing with it earlier. Turn it up.
Check, I want to clip out and beat it off, because that's going to be so many jokes later on.
check, 1-2. How's that? Well, those knobs don't match at all. Something's out of balance somewhere. Okay, they're saying it's better on the stream. We're going to roll with it. Yeah, I thought it was peaking earlier.
On my end, man.
Yeah, oh, I'm hearing myself echo through you, are you? Crap.
Yeah, that's killing me. Yeah, that was killing me too, dude.
Okay. So, anyways, right. Syntax, did you finish before that we complained about the audio?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm drinking Australia and Svedka vodka straight.
Nice. I'm currently drinking some Knob Creek. Madman, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a black and tan. I would tell you the name of the company, but they decided I want to be some hipster dude and name it German shit. And I can't speak German.
No sprechen
Sie Deutsch?
So
we're just going to call it beer. No, nein sprechen Sie Deutsch.
Yeah, me neither. are you, I'm afraid to ask?
atmospheric secretions, that's what I'm drinking.
Cow moisture.
Like cow situations.
Cow moisture.
No, I'm not drinking milk. I'm drinking atmospheric secretions.
Really? You're drinking water?
Depend on what year that was. That can really fuck you up.
Yeah, that's true.
deal with it. Do a barrel roll.
Oh, hell yeah. It's a blast, man. I've played video games before, so... I know what I'm doing a little bit.
I thought I hit the barrel roll one, but that's okay. Anyway, they're all just, they all say plain
peace,
guy.
Cowboy.
The thing cuts off the sample name, so they all just say plain guy on my soundboard.
Oh, plain guy. Rest in peace, plain guy.
What do you think, like 5,000 feet at least to be able to pull this barrel roll off?
That's not right, but I mean, the audio is just fantastic. So.
Yeah. For those who don't know, that's Sky King, and the young man who stole a plane, and as you heard on the thing, did a barrel roll.
And not a small plane, either, like...
No, it was a twin prop turbo. Probably not the kind of plane that's designed to do barrel rolls. But, yeah.
Shoot. Man, I'm sorry about this. I hope this doesn't ruin your day.
I love that. Steals a plane, goes out, does tricks. He's got the F-16 scrambled. I'm sorry about this. I hope it doesn't ruin your day.
But the best thing about it, we have footage of him doing that barrel roll.
He pulled him off.
Yeah. And
is
he did a flip.
Really?
Yeah, there's a bunch of camera footage.
There's a whole 2.5 minute montage.
Oh my god, I gotta see this.
Yeah, I was Sky King.
Would you just Google Sky King?
I think that's what they're nicknaming him now. I'll get you a copy.
Okay, cool.
So, anyways, so continuing our experiment with just having a random discussion topic not tied to any news stories.
Tribute to Sky King.
Well, we just did that.
Yeah, I think he's pulling up the footage.
Oh, I was going to say, we just...
Hey, pilot guy, can this thing do a backflip, you think?
A backflip? That's not what it's called.
At this point, he stole a plane. I don't think we're going to, you know, quibble over this.
Well, I'm just going to keep this little bit right here.
Hey, pilot guy, can...
Because that right there...
I think one of the interesting parts about it, because I pulled it up and listened to it when it was happening live, the dude who was on talking with him was still actually shuffling planes around to land. The guy was still doing his job while trying to keep this guy out of a massive area.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just cut out him.
It was a fantastic job.
I just cut out, I guess we're calling him Sky King. I just cut him out because he was saying some pretty funny things for a guy just, you know, stealing a plane, flying it around. But yeah, the air traffic control guy, I mean, he's calm. He's talking to him. You know, he's talking about going out and flying out and seeing certain areas. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, it's beautiful out there. And I mean, you found out later, yeah, he was probably trying to get him away from the populated areas because he knew what was going to happen. But, you know,
but
still.
Man, the professionalism of the traffic control, man, you just got to tip your hat to those guys.
Oh, absolutely.
In this situation, like you think about it, this guy has gotten out of bed, gone to work. And then stolen plane. Like, you know, this is crazy.
And you're just wondering if he's sitting there going, could you at least wait for me to finish my coffee? I
mean, you know, like, why that, now, man? I was 5 minutes from going home.
That's how I feel. That's how I feel at work. I get to work. I sit down. I get the cup of coffee made. And it's not even cool enough to take a drink yet before the phone's ringing, HipChat or Slack or whatever the fuck we're using this week. I don't know. We keep changing. You know, whatever chat program is going nuts, and my boss is calling, and it's just like, son of a bitch, what now?
Yeah, he finished work and was like, you know what, bar? No, fuck it. Airport. We've all had those days.
Yeah.
So.
You know, he was just better at getting onto the airport than we were.
Motivated.
Well, he was an employee there.
Oh, was
it? Yeah, he was.
Yeah. If you look at some of his YouTube videos and that, he's well-traveled. He wasn't a stupid guy. He had actually traveled the world quite extensively.
Huh.
Well, you know how sometimes you get that weird idea in your head? It's like, I should touch that. Or,
yes.
You know, I wonder what 12 volts across the tongue feels like. I mean, occasionally you just get a stupid idea in your head. You know it's stupid. You know you shouldn't do it, but you're gonna.
And the old death or glory thing.
I've started many electrical fires. This guy stole a plane. I mean, you know, it's.
I like to try and figure out motivations of people, but this guy, I can't. That's the only thing I can attribute it to. He's just gone, a rush of blood. You know what? I'm sitting in the pilot seat. What? Hey, look at that. It's got fuel. Yeah. That is the biggest fucking spider I've ever seen. I will be right back.
Well, while RU deals with arachnophobia.
We hope RU will be right back. I mean, the last time I heard RU say, holy shit, there's an animal near, there was a dingo in his backyard. I hear him walk out. I hear the door open. I hear the door close. I hear the other door close and a deadbolt. And he's like, nope, I'm not fucking with that one. Like,
I imagine for RU, life is much like a D&D adventure. I mean, I could
easily. Behind the desk. I can't get it.
I could.
I'm going to be there for the whole fucking show. God damn it.
I'm just imagining RU's life is like a D&D adventure game and, you know, constant monsters showing up and, you know, being a hobo and murdering things for money. This is how I imagine RU lives his life. So.
I didn't get a big, good enough look at it. I don't know if it's fucking deadly or not.
At least it isn't that bull mastiff dingo pack.
Getting the masking tape. making a fishing line.
Yeah, 10 minutes in, we haven't hit the topic yet. We're doing pretty good.
Sorry about that.
It's fun.
I was sitting here, man, and I'm like, I see this little like fucking thing come up, and I'm like, oh, I wonder what that is. And then it's like climbed up onto the desk. I'm like, holy fuck, you're a big son of a bitch. So I go to get the rag to grab it with, and yeah, I went to grab him. He fucking leapt behind the desk.
So are you? I'm not quite.
I say it's him, but maybe a female.
It could be.
I hope I haven't misgendered that spider.
Well, especially if it's got a bunch of babies on its back, so when you go to swat at it, you know, they go everywhere.
Oh, man.
So are you? I'm not quite clear on the weapons laws in Australia, but are you allowed to have things like flamethrowers or the salt guns?
No.
Not even the ones that shoot table salt? Because those are actually pretty effective.
Not that I'm aware of.
Huh.
I know you can have lever action shotgun.
Oh, yeah. You can definitely have the bug assault. So you need to look up on Amazon the bug assault.
Bug assault.
Yeah. It's an air gun. You pour salt in the top. You pump it like 2 or 3 times. And then it shoots granulated table salt and will kill the fuck out of bugs.
I'm pretty sure. That sounds like fun, so I'm betting it's legal.
Well, I'm just thinking, one of those is great fun in the backyard, going after the mosquitoes and spiders and shit. You know, until they tend to break after 100 or so shots. But, you know, hey.
Yeah.
Good times. Anyways, so what I had planned for the discussion topic, because I was a little pissed about it earlier, it's update time again. Everyone's computer, if you're on Windows, you're in your forced updates. So
yep, that happened last night.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to shut down an update, or do you want to restart an update? Do you want to sleep an update?
My favorite, and I was afraid the broadcast box was going to do it today, but it didn't. Because it wasn't on yesterday. My favorite is the one where you log into the computer and it says, you're scheduled for an update in 2 minutes. Would you like to continue now? And, you know, you're sitting there frantically trying to click the reschedule button. And I did not get forced into an update. I had about 30 seconds to spare before I realized what that box was. It was literally, yeah. I mean, it had scheduled its update for like a minute after I logged in. It's like, what the fuck? So,
well, I mean, if you don't want if you do not want updates, load a language pack. It gets rid of all of them for you.
But then it just wants to download them all again. That's not the update, it's the weird scheduling of when I have to get them.
Well, it at least once you load the language pack, it'll wait till the next patch cycle to try and update again.
Well,
so you have a month.
Microsoft hasn't exactly had a stellar record with their updates here lately, and especially when you're dealing with corporate machines. Oh, God, is that not fun? Because half of our fleet where I work has decided that even though they're all configured to use WSUS and they all have group policy telling them how to do their updates, they're still going to pull them from Microsoft when Microsoft wants them to update, not when we've approved the patches. I don't know if you've had that problem. Well, you might not have been dealing with it lately, Syntax, now that I think on it.
So, there's a setting in SCCM that you can change that tells it absolutely do not do the, download from Microsoft. Actually, it might have been in group policy, but it's in there. It's buried, but it's in there.
Well, now, if only my SCCM admin wasn't a complete asshole. Anyways, that point aside. But yeah, these forced updates kind of get old pretty quick, and especially when they make the machine less stable, not more. Because I don't know about you, but I've had some experiences lately.
Oh, is this the new like creators pack or whatever?
Well, the last time one of those ran, it reset all my defaults, and it, you know, like uninstalled a few programs. It's like, what the fuck, man?
I did the same.
Yeah.
Yep. My month of Windows helping.
Oh, yeah. And it, you know, reinstalled Candy Crush and a bunch of other bullshit that I didn't want. I mean,
I just don't bother uninstalling it anymore.
Windows has literally hit the point of the Dilbert comic from 10 years ago of, you know, we're not certain if it's really good marketing or not, but it's you see the computer screen, you know, we have your credit card. Buying programs we think you need. Making space on your hard drive. Installing them. I mean, it's just like, you know, of course the comic ended with Dilbert loading the shotgun, but still.
Yeah.
I'm not making that one up. I might be misremembering the exact words of the comic, but I do have that in a book somewhere. But
I remember that one.
Yeah. So I mean, normally you'd want you want people to update, especially, you know, I'm a security guy. I would want people to update, right? But it's just this whole forcing it down your throat. I don't know. I mean,
I'm really
damn
torn.
Inconvenient.
Yeah, I'm really, really torn when it comes to updates because, personally, I am of the opinion that it shouldn't ask you if you want to do updates. It should just do them because that would help so many people. Then again, on the other hand, it would make, you know, my job harder. Because there would be less avenues for me to break into shit.
True. But I agree with you to a point. The home versions of Windows should absolutely do that. If it's professional or up, or maybe even just joined to a domain or up, no.
Yeah.
It should be managed.
I was just about to say. I'm like, yep. On Enterprise, wholly new story. Because I've seen things that an update comes through and there's snazzy, you know, custom made piece of software that they spent, you know, an exorbitant amount of money on in 1998 doesn't work with the new update.
I was just waiting for you to go, I've seen things, man.
I have seen things.
So
I have.
But it's not just Windows. I got a new Android, well, new to me, Android tablet the other day, and completely reset it all the way back to stock, right? Because when you get a secondhand piece of hardware like that,
you burn it down.
Yeah, exactly. So after that, it went from Android 6 and did every fucking update to the end of support, which was like 7.1 or whatever it was when the manufacturer decided they weren't updating it anymore. So it's
That's
not
fun.
It's not completely up to date, but yeah, my brand new toy I couldn't use for most of yesterday because it was just update, 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 update. It's like, you know, you kind of expected it to do a roll up or something at one point. No, nope. It stepped through every damned one of them.
So this was a really interesting thing I saw at Con. So it was Tuesday at B-Sides. Me and four other, you know, hacker type people are sitting around a table and we're talking, and a gentleman to my right, like, opens his phone, you know, hits two or three buttons, stops and went, oh, fuck. And then, smashed his phone on the corner of the table until it was at a 90 degree angle. And set it on the table, and it goes, hey, I'm going to make a fries run. Does anyone want to go? And we're all just standing there going, what the fuck? And he's like, well,
that's a bit of an extreme reaction.
Yeah. I was like, wow, what's going on? And he's like, where are we? And I'm like, hacker conference. And he's like, yeah. So I just saw an Android systems update pop up on my phone. And because I'm so used to hitting yes and going, yes, we need to do these, like as soon as they come in, I hit yes. And then I realized where I was.
Oh,
and
no.
And that there wasn't a scheduled update. So I figured that was a better fix than trying.
That's an extreme fix.
Yeah. I mean, you could go and burn it down, but probably any data that was on there would have been exfilled by the time that you burned it down. So, I mean, it was...
Depending on the phone, almost. Couldn't he have just taken the battery out?
It was Galaxy, so no. or a Galaxy 7, so no,
yeah,
no battery.
You can take the batteries out of those, but it takes some time.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, he just smashed it and went, well, this was a burner phone anyways. Let's go to Fry's, get a new one.
Well, at least he was smart enough to bring a burner phone with him.
Yeah. So it was, you know, so they're right there. You know, don't always trust updates.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's that 1% of the time that you shouldn't.
Well, I mean, Apple's bad about it, too. They just flat out cut off technology. I've got a 3-year-old iPad mini. Yeah, no more updates for it. It's done. According to Apple, it's ancient and I should buy a new one. It's only 3 years old.
Well, I mean, it's Apple.
Yeah, I know.
Why would you want to play with one of those anyways?
Back in the day, there were apps on it that weren't on Android, and I paid for them, and by God, they're mine.
Oh, yeah, okay. I understand that.
So,
can't you emulate iOS?
I've not seen an iOS emulator. That'd be cool if there was one. Oh, I meant to cover it. You just reminded me of that. Not really related to emulating iOS, but apparently Crossover Office put out a version for Wine, a version of Wine for Android. You got to be running on one of the Intel chips, but yeah, they put that out, and I haven't had a chance to play with it yet, which is why it's not in Dojo. But you just reminded me of that.
Well, that's interesting.
So,
I wonder how well it works.
Apparently, hit and miss from the reviews I saw, but it's worth playing with, anyways. It's something I wanted to play with on the new tablet, and I didn't get to because it was running fucking updates all night last night. Madman, you've been quiet. What do you think?
I think it'd be freaky seeing someone smashing their phone at a coffee table. Just out of nowhere, whack, 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 like, is he on drugs?
I'm going to have to spend like $40 on burner phones now just to fuck with Madman next time I'm going up to where he lives.
What's weird is $40, that's probably the phone I'm using.
It's con. So, oh wow, that's a fucking bomb. Let's take that right the fuck out. Sorry, I'm playing with some hardware, and there was a lithium battery that's about 3 times the size it should be.
Whoops! And Syntax discovers what happens when you hook the battery up to the power supply backwards.
No, it's just old, and it's kind of leaky, and it's glued to the fucking board. How do I get this off? I want this board. Okay, this is going to be fun. So
is
if
it
I
hot?
Scream... No, it has been unplugged for a while. It just wasn't turning on.
Is the battery warm?
No.
Okay, you're fine. It was warm at one point, which is why it's 3 times the size it should be. But if it's not now, the reaction's done. As long as you don't put any more power on it, you should be able to get it off the board. Just be careful not to tear it because that lithium shit's nasty.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm trying to do is it's glued to the board.
Let's not play
with this right now. Let's play with this later.
Yeah, if you got like one of those round-headed spudgers from iFixit, that might be a way to get it off. That or get some isopropyl and see if you can dissolve the adhesive.
Oh, that's the way to do that.
So I don't know. Might be calling
updates
this,
are weird.
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to call this topic a fail at this point because we haven't ventured off into La La Land like we have in some of the others we tried.
Yeah, I
updates
know.
Are necessary, but I just don't like the idea of I can't say update it this time, leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah, I agree with
the
that.
Self-driving car.
Well,
hey, you're doing 100 down the freeway. Would you like to update?
Oh God, no.
So half the time that I tell it, hey, update it this time, it doesn't fucking do it. Like, that's the thing that has really annoyed me with the automatic updates.
Well, on one of the iPads, it'll sit there and pop up every time you hit the launcher or hit the home button to go back to the launcher screen. I forget what the hell it's called in iOS. Is it Finder? Just where all the icons are on the screen?
Yeah.
Okay, Finder.
I think.
Whatever. I thought that was the thing with the face on the Macs. Anyways... Yeah, when you hit the home button and you go back to the desktop or whatever it's called on iOS, it'll just pop up and say, hey, here's an update. You schedule it now or install it now. And you just don't get a choice. You can't make the damn thing go away. So you schedule it, and of course it says, okay, we will install this for you, and it doesn't let you pick when to schedule it. It's just, it picks an arbitrary time. And then half the time it'll pop up the next day and say, we didn't install the update because you didn't plug it into power. It's just like, for fuck's sake. So I don't know. Here lately it feels like I spend more time managing the updates for my devices than actually getting to use my fucking devices. So that's the reason I picked the topic. It mildly annoyed me to the point that I thought we should yell at the internet about it.
Yeah. Well, and anymore, I mean, there's so many things that require updates. Now, on the plus side, there's fucking updates. Like,
yeah.
How long ago did nothing have updates?
Well, routers and printers, for the most part, still, that's still the case.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, it's funny. Like, we're bitching about, you know, there being way more updates now, but weren't we bitching 5 years ago that there was
that things
no
just weren't
ever
fixed? Yeah, that's a good point. No, that's a very good point, because
as a consumer, I choose to be a whore. I will demand what I want when I want, and you'll never be fucking right. That's all it boils down to.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's there's a control issue there, though, and you know, I mean, it's like, you know, on Linux, you pick when to update, and on a Windows box, it's picking when to update for you because it doesn't trust you to do it. And Cycross is saying the same damn thing in the IRC. The way I see it, if I have to update, it's not my tech, but then the ISP should be able to block out of date software. I don't know about that. because then you're getting into editorial, right? But I don't know, because, yeah, it's that loss of control. I think you'd have a lot more people who didn't care about it if the updates were silent. It's sort of like how Chrome does it, where they update silently in the background, and just the next time you restart, you're on whatever the version it pulled in was.
Yeah. And I think that would be a little better for, like, home users. But I don't know. At the same time, I don't know, because there's a lot of home users that never turn off their device.
Yeah, that's also true.
But I was playing my device.
Well, yeah.
Well, I'm just thinking. Yes, Cycross, I do put unpatched Windows 2000 boxes on my network, but that's usually for sport.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, that's when you're timing how long before the thing blue screens without touching it. I lost my train of thought now. I don't know. I just
everybody put unpatched Win2K or WinME boxes on their network.
Hey, we're not running a hospital now.
True.
Oh.
So, I don't know. Let's go ahead and go into stories here, because I don't. I'm not sure where I'm going with this. I didn't have like a point. I just wanted to bitch.
That's the idea of the playing with the format.
That's true.
Intro thing.
That's true. That's true.
It's gonna be hit. And it's gonna be miss.
I'm willing to call that one a miss.
It is what it is.
Well. We had some other good stuff around it, so it's fine.
Waiting for that fucking spider to show us.
We're just going to hear RU yelp in the background, and then there'll be a crash.
I'm on motherfucking safari here at this point.
Yeah, there's going to be RU screaming like a little girl, and then crashes everywhere.
I'm just imagining him, like, standing on the desk right now, holding the kukri at the ready.
That only happened that night I fucking took LSD and the penguins started crawling up the wall. I've never done that before.
That's worth me freaking out. Penguins don't naturally crawl up walls.
Or live in Australia.
Or live in a tropical climate.
There's some of them in Australia, but they're way further south.
So, first story, RU sent to me the other day. This is from BBC News. Google Records, Google Records, Google Records users' locations, even when they've asked it not to, a report from the Associated Press has suggested. The issue could affect up to 2 billion Android and Apple devices which use Google for maps or search. The study, verified by researchers at Princeton University, has angered U.S. lawmakers. Google said in response that it provides clear description of its tools and how to turn them off. The study found that users' whereabouts are recorded even when location history has been disabled. For example, Google stores a snapshot of where you are when you open the Maps app. Automatic weather updates on Android phones pinpoint roughly where a user is. Searches that have nothing to do with location pinpoint precise longitude and latitude of users. Fuck.
Yeah, that's accurate, man.
The latitude and the longitude, because you decided to Google, I don't know, you know, who was Aretha Franklin or something. I mean, you know. You pull it up because you're having a random thought and you want to check a fact, or you're arguing with somebody, and now they know where you are with enough precision for a drone strike. That's just dark.
The queen of soul, and unfortunately she has passed away today.
Oh, that's why I'm seeing all these sidebars for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because she's dead.
I didn't know that. I wasn't reading the articles. I was doing show notes. I was trying to get ready. It's like, I don't think this is related to tech. I'll explore it later. So, yeah, it sucks she died. Although she was up there, wasn't she?
She's like 71.
70s, yeah.
Oh, I thought she was older than that. Okay. Anyways.
She was black. That helps. They don't usually live as, you know, long. High blood pressure. Was beaten a few times in the 60s.
Dude, the lifestyle of being a singer back in the 60s and 70s as an African woman. Bad person. Like, dude, for her to live this long, you know.
Toasty. Wait, that's the wrong button.
That's probably
We're just gonna go that. Oh my god. I really did not mean to hit the toasty. I was actually looking for the drum hit, but you know what? We're just going to put the soundboard away. We're going to set that over there.
No, keep it
when
out.
When talking about the recently departed, get your fucking hand off the soundboard.
Oh, dude. There won't be another Blues Brothers.
Sorry about this. I hope this
Dude, that should be the end of every fucking show we do.
Right?
Oh. Actually, that should just be the hang-up line on all your phone calls that you make.
Sorry, I hope this doesn't ruin your day. That would actually work in context for most of my...
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So
I mean, any security professional, if you get a call and it says, you know, InfoSec or like whatever on your caller ID, you just go, oh, fuck.
That's not as much fun as when I decide I want to screw with somebody. I get my whole team to come with me and we just go stand at their desk.
And just like don't say anything and look at.
Or we'll have one person say, what were you doing? To be fair, I've only done that twice, but, you know, the first guy almost pissed his pants, so.
Amazing.
Anyways.
You're kind of a dick.
Kind of.
And that's why we all get along.
Yes. Meanwhile, back at the article. To illustrate the effect of those location markers, AP created a visual map showing the movements of Princeton researchers Gunasekar, who's using an Android phone with location history turned off. The map showed his train commute around New York, as well as visits to the High Line Park, Chelsea's Market, Hell's Kitchen, Central Park, and Harlem. It also revealed his home address. To stop Google from saving these location markers, users have to turn off another setting called Web and App Activity, which is enabled by default and which does not mention location data. Disabling this prevents Google storing information generated by searches and other activities, which can limit the effectiveness of its digital assistant. Does anybody actually use that thing?
The digital assistant?
Yeah, I know people use Siri, but and to a point Alexa, but and if anybody's playing this on speakers, haha. But you know,
I've used it in the past, just because I'm driving and I know like I can hit the button and hold it on my Android phone.
Now
and
I'll use
scream
text
at it.
I'll use the voice to text, but I don't. I've never used it like the digital assistant. You know what I mean? I think I played with the Samsung one for like a minute, and I'm like, eh. So, you would think that telling Google you don't want your location to be tracked by disabling an option called location history would stop the internet giant from storing data about your location, writes security researcher Graham Cooley on his blog. It seems pretty sneaky to me that Google continues to store location data unless you both disable location history and web app inactivity. In response, Google told the AP there are a number of different ways that Google may use location to improve people's experience, including location history, web and app activity, and through device-level location services. We provide clear description of these tools and robust controls so people can turn them off and delete their histories at any time. Following its research, AP created a guide to show users how to delete location data. Presented with the evidence of the AP study, Democratic Senator Mark Warner accused technology giants of having corporate practices that diverge wildly from totally reasonable expectations of their users. Democratic Congressman Frank Pallone called for comprehensive consumer privacy and data security legislation. In the UK, I love how they only talk to Democrats. In the UK, a spokesman for the Information Commissioner's Office told the BBC, under the GDPR and Data Protection Act of 2018, organizations have a legal duty to be open, transparent, and fair with the public about how their personal data is used. Anybody who has concerns about how an organization is handling their personal information can contact the ICO. Technology firms are under fire for not being clear about privacy settings and how to use them. In June, a report from the Norwegian Consumer Council found evidence that privacy-friendly options are hidden away or obscured. I'm sorry, Dave. We found that your settings have conflicted with our business plan, and they've been corrected. Yeah, it Jeez. Goes on and on.
You,
so.
You
we appreciate
now.
Your cooperation. Your social justice score has been raised 2 points.
Now, honestly, if anyone believes that any of these companies, whether it's Google or Facebook or whoever, isn't storing this or any data they can at any time, is fucking lying to themselves.
True.
Like, yeah, of course it is. Like, that's one reason why I really want to get a black phone, because it has a physical switch to turn off GPS. You can't trace my location as well if the GPS GPS module physically has no power going to it. You know,
kind of makes me wonder how hard it would be to open up the phone and wire in a switch. I know it'd be some pretty tight soldering on a modern smartphone board. But
yeah, and I'm wondering if everything is run in serial, so anything past your GPS on that board is no longer going to have that VCC rail going.
Oh,
and then it just bricks half your phone.
That's a point. I don't know. Be worth figuring out. And my RC just crashed. There it goes.
Yay!
I need to work on that. Anyways, so yeah, surprising nobody, Google lies in its settings. Welcome to the same world that Facebook, Apple, and everybody else is in. So I mean, if you thought Google wasn't doing it, like yeah, Syntax was right on the nail there. That yeah, you're kidding yourself. But. Anyways, next article is from Inverse, but this was all over the place. FCC Chair Ajit Pai said Thursday that he wanted to tell the public that he did not think hackers were behind the FCC site crash in May of 2017, the FCC's official position on the matter up until this month, but couldn't because he thought it might jeopardize an investigation into the issue. Critics of the FCC's Restoring Internet Freedom Order, the policy that killed net neutrality earlier this year, said Pai wanted to obfuscate the reality that the site crashed under the weight of 22 million comments that supported the idea of net neutrality. Instead, his office put out a statement saying the site was hacked, casting doubt on popular support for consumer protection that would ensure all internet content loads equal beads. That's not what net neutral. Anyways, the FCC Office of Inspector General asked Pai to stay quiet. Do not say anything to anyone, he recalled before the Senate committee on Thursday morning. I guess that was this morning. About his suspicions, but it wasn't a distributed denial of service attack on the FCC website because the Inspector General was conducting an investigation in the matter. Earlier this month, Pai blamed the FCC's then Chief Information Officer, David Bray, for giving him inaccurate info that the FCC's site had been hacked. He said on Thursday that he had suspicions that this wasn't the case, but he couldn't say anything because of an investigation in the matter. Okay, bullshit. There are totally ways he could have let Congress know what was going on without making public announcements.
Like, I don't know, going to tell Congress?
Yeah, just asking for a closed session. I mean, dude's head of the FCC, they'd give him a closed session. Right?
Yeah.
He could go to his congressman. He has one. He voted for one.
It's very hard.
You go to the congressman he likes. He's the head of the FCC. They'll let him have an appointment.
It was very hard to stay quiet. We wanted the story to get out, not only because it would vindicate what we had been saying, but that we relied on Chief Information Officer David Bray's representations. Pai told Hawaii Senator Brian Schatz. I almost thought that said Schitz there for a second, but it's Schatz. So the position I was in, do we breach the Inspector General's request for confidentiality, Pai said. I could have done it, but then I would have been accused of stifling an Office of Inspector General investigation. Bullshit. I guess what I'm looking for is some measure of accountability as the chairman. An exhausted looking Schatz told Pai, his right hand on his cheek. I understand that you are in a difficult position, but I cannot imagine that there was not another way to thread this needle and deal with us in our oversight capacity. Put yourself in my position, Pai pleaded. You have a request from an inspector general. Do not say anything to anyone. Pai was speaking before the Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation, part of a hearing to review activities by the FCC, a group of five commissioners who are each nominated by the president. Blah, 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 blah. The rest of this is just talking about, net neutrality and some other things about it. So, anyways, anybody who thinks net neutrality was just ensuring fairness on the internet, you should go look up what it actually was. A little bit more involved in that. Not saying it's a good thing it's gone, but I'm also not saying it's a bad thing. Also, it was never actually implemented. So, when you want to argue about these things, just understand that it was never actually implemented or enforced. It was preemptive regulations based on the idea. I mean, now, to be fair, Comcast and a few others did absolutely misbehave. But,
let's just say
there were
a
other
threat.
Problems with it. There were other problems with it. That's all I'm going to say. Because I don't want to get into that argument of is net neutrality good or bad, because there were parts of the legislation that were good, and then there were other parts that were shit. So, whatever, right? But
it's the problem of it was a large bill written by people that take paychecks from lobbyists to keep their jobs.
Yep. And don't understand what the fuck they're regulating most of the time. So there were no provisions in the net neutrality bill for like having priority service if you were doing like remote medical stuff, or you basically couldn't even properly administer your network in a few cases. Like QoS service was basically outlawed by that thing. And anybody who's ever ran VoIP on a network that's a little crowded or a little overloaded knows that you kind of need QoS to make shit work. So... I might be exaggerating a touch, but I'm just, Syntax, I don't think I ever talked with you about it. What do you think of the net neutrality stuff? Just like a high level, quickie stuff.
So high level with net neutrality. Oh God, it's really hard to do just a high level. So
isn't it?
I think it is really, really important. Whether or not it's going to survive is a wholly different story. I really like the fight that's been put up on all sides because it is actually important. Yeah, whether or not it's actually going to mean anything is something to be seen, just because there's so much money to be made. And if the companies that control a lot of it feel they can make more money doing something sketchy, they're gonna.
They're at least gonna try it, yeah.
Yeah, that's just the way it is. I think one of the good things about it is it is kind of distributed. A lot of the people that own the actual bandwidth and the fiber are not these big companies. You know, it's not the Verizons and the AT&Ts. You know, it's these smaller companies that, because they were the ones that were like, hey, we're gonna go run 1,000 miles worth of fiber. You know, let's fucking do this. They now own it, which means they own that bandwidth. You know, if someone pisses them off, they can just be like, nope, all of it's off. Fuck you all.
Well, let me show you, I guess, just to throw it out there, what my major problem with the legislation was is that they were solving the wrong problem.
Oh, yeah.
And what I mean by that, just to clarify it, is that net neutrality wouldn't even be a question if there was proper competition in the ISP space. If your ISP wants to play shenanigans, fine, I'll just go use the one down the street. But that's not an option. I have a choice of exactly one ISP where I live. Because believe me, I'd be on something better if it was here.
I have two out here. Which helps. Like, I've talked to people that only have the option of one. And, you know, I have a decent amount of bandwidth, both up and down, for what I feel is a decent price. Now, I mean, go to Europe and I'm still way overpaying. But yeah, I mean, if we were to have two more legitimate ISPs that could, you know, provide the service at the level that, you know, a Comcast or a Verizon can do, then yeah, I think the price would go down even more.
And the quality of service would go up, and you wouldn't have these arguments about, oh, well, they're going to slow down Netflix and YouTube so that I have to go through whatever, I guess with AT&T it was DirecTV, I forget what Comcast owned. But
it takes all of, you know, a day and a half and two phone calls to switch your ISP. And lots of times the competing ISP, I know they do out here, will give you an amazing rate if you switch over. Like, I switch ISPs every couple of years just because I can be like, you know what, ISP, Acme, ISP. Yeah. You know, you guys, you know, what's your prices and everything? Because right now I'm on Omega ISP and, you know, I feel they're kind of fucking me. And Acme every time goes, do I got a deal for you? And like, I'll lock it in for 2 years. And as soon as that's done, I'll go back to the other one and be like, hey, what can you do? Like, I've kept my prices fairly low with, you know, some very, very basic social engineering.
Yeah, see, I literally don't have that option. Go ahead, are you?
Yeah, I'm the same. I don't have that option, but that's some pretty good capitalism right there, man. Well, being a consumer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's ridiculous that, and a lot of this stems back to, you know, Mama Bell. Like, a lot of these companies have their roots with the Bell breakup, where they broke them up to make it not a monopoly, but now they just made regional monopolies instead of a countrywide monopoly.
Well, Bell's monopoly was always people don't realize there were kind of two setups with Bell. Ma Bell was not allowed to wire up a town. That's where a lot of the regional get-ups that you like right now have got their infrastructure built. It's because it's always been regional. Bob Bell was allowed to wire between towns. That's where her monopoly came in, was mostly long-distance calls and connecting from town to town. Each town had its own little single monopoly granted to it by that municipality. So my town was wired by one place. I forget whoever it was originally. Morpheus' town was wired up by one place, and Ma Bell had the contract to connect all of us.
Oh,
now,
okay.
I couldn't argue too much with my local provider, but my local provider might argue a bit with Ma Bell, but they're also hamstrung because they couldn't go anywhere else for a long distance. And if I wanted to call the next town over, I have to do business with Ma Bell.
So, what's amusing here is we're sitting there talking about the details of net neutrality and not just the obvious bullshit of Ajit Pai. It's like, yeah, of course it's bullshit. We all know it's bullshit, but because he got caught in his lie and now he's trying to, you know, find ways out of it. First, he tried to blame the IT guy. Nobody believed that. So now he's like, well, I wanted to tell you, but they told me not to.
Yeah, it's like, dude, you're not dropping Leet O'Days or, you know, the secret to cold fusion. You're just a douche.
Yeah. You're not Kevin Spacey on Netflix, dude. Come on.
Yeah.
House of Cards. I can't think of what his character's name was.
That guy.
You know, before he got, fired from his own show for being a pederast. Anyways,
was he pederast or Me Too'd?
I think he was Me Too'd. Oh, was it both?
I think it was both. I think he was Me Too'd as a pedophile.
Don't want to double up on that.
No.
It's a bad combo.
No, it really is.
It's sort of like getting the chili fries and the spicy chicken. I mean, it just doesn't go together. I mean, and you're going to pay for it in the next day anyways. So
one way or the other.
You know what? Nope. I'm staying away from the soundboard. I was going to hit something, but I...
Do it.
It's not worth it. It's just not worth the risk.
Do it.
A backflip, you think?
Fuck yeah, it can.
All right.
Amazingly.
Let's do the next story here. This one was also sent to me by RU, who I believe is currently locked in Mortal Kombat with an arachnid. Or somebody wearing an arachnid costume. I can't...
So it's very Starship Troopers.
It's very Starship Troopers, yeah. Oh, I just looked at the IRC. Frank Underwood. Thanks, Cyclops. Mm-hmm. Actually, because when the IRC messed up earlier, it quit scrolling, so I didn't notice that he had been sitting there talking the whole time. So he said, probably sitting there screaming at his phone. It's like, it's in the IRC, man. Just say it. Anyways. Next article is from the BBC and was sent to me by RU. Forget peer pressure. Future generations are more likely to be influenced by robots, a study suggests.
Only if we see robots as our peers. No, they're slaves or overlords, not peers.
The research conducted at the University of Plymouth found that while adults were not swayed by robots, children were. The fact that children tended to trust robots without question raised ethical issues as the machines became more persuasive, said researchers. Yep, Kevin Spacey. Kevin Spacey's going to be remote controlling the Furby. Now just go out the door. I can't do an unremote voice.
Not a Furby. A Teddy Ruxpin.
Oh, now, what
oh
you...
just ruined all of my childhood memories, thank you.
Have you seen the new Teddy Ruxpins?
No.
No, just wait till your parents aren't around. Then go out the door. You'll see the man with the van saying free candy. I'm sorry, that's not right.
Yeah, someone may have also hacked one at DEF CON this year.
You ever see a Teddy Ruxpin with its fur taken off? Things are creepy as hell.
Yeah, there was a bunch of people running around with Tickle Me Elmos with all their fur taken off.
Oh, no, my favorite Tickle Me Elmos were the ones that were on fire.
That tickles.
Yep.
I was just thinking the Tickle Me Elmo without the fur on it kind of looked like the things from They Live.
Yeah, the fucking weird eyes.
Yeah. They called for the robotics community to build safeguards for children. those taking part
that's
in
that's a terrifying
isn't
you
it?
Know what the safeguard for the children is? Their parents. The reason the child trusts it is children trust everything. If you want a baby to bond with a rag doll, what you do is you stick it in a room with just a rag doll. And the baby will bond with it because it's the only thing there. They'll even talk to it. If you put a recorder in it and have it talk back, the baby will be happy as hell. But it will bond with rag dolls and think humans are fucking weird. We've done this.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, babies, honestly, anything with a face, they will bond with. I wonder, did that robot have a face?
In the picture, it does. It looks like two googly eyes stuck on the front of it, but yes, it has a face.
Okay, I'm like, if it's just a box with no googly eyes, I wonder if it would.
Those taking part in the study completed a simple test known as the ASK program, which involved finding two lines that matched in length. Known as the conformity experiment, the test has historically found that people tended to agree with their peers, even if individually they had been given a different answer. In this case, the peers were robots. The children aged 7 to 9 were alone in the room, but they scored an average of 87% on the test. When the robots joined them, their score dropped to 75%. Well, duh, the kid's going to be distracted by the robot. Of the wrong answers, 74% matched to those of the robots. What's an A-B answer? Maybe not. I don't know.
The lines are obviously the wrong length. They're trying to see if the robot giving the wrong answer, if the people will argue with it.
Well, if it's a true-false question, I mean, of course if you get it wrong, it's going to match the robot. That's the test.
No, the test is the child is given, let's say, a two-foot line and a one-foot line.
That's the only incorrect answer, is matching the robot. I mean,
oh my God!
Maybe the child was just a retard.
Kill it with fire.
Professor of robotics Tony Belfame, who led the research, said people often follow the opinions of others, and we've known for a long time that it's hard to resist taking over views and opinions of people around us. We know this as conformity, but robots will soon be found in the home and the workplace, and we're wondering if people would also conform to robots. I don't know why I assume this guy's speaking like this, but this is how I'm reading him now. What our results show is that adults who do not conform to what the robots are saying, but when we did the experiment with children, they did. The children can perhaps have more affinity with robots than adults, which does pose the question, what if robots were to suggest, for example, what products to buy or what to think? I think they're already doing that. I've seen the Barbie with the camera in it that talks back, or the Tamagotchi, and God knows how many of those iPad apps there are out there. They're already doing this. The conclusion? Children increasingly yield to social pressure exerted by a group of robots. However, adults resisted being influenced by robots. The research said that there needs to be further discussions about protective measures to minimize the risk to children during social child robot interaction. Social child robot interaction. That is a fucking there's a phrase. Professor Noel Sharkey, who claims the Foundation for Responsible Robotics, said of the research, this study shores up concerns about the use of robotics with children. If robots can convince children, but not adults, that false information is true, then the implications for the planned commercial exploitation of robots by child minding and teaching is problematic. But he added, one missing concept of the studies was testing the children with a voice from a computer. This means that you can't tell if the effect has anything to do with the robots or just the voices played through them. So, I don't know. In the picture, they look, I can see why the kids would be distracted by them.
Yeah. It looks like a toy.
Yeah. So, I love the fear in that article. Children are being influenced by robots. And TV and radio, YouTube, their peers, their teachers.
Have you seen some of this shit that's targeted at children on YouTube?
No, but I'm sure it's terrifying.
Oh, it's fucking terrifying, dude. Absolutely terrifying. And it's not just the cartoony stuff. It's some of the adults that are doing children's content for like very young, you know, in between boys and shit, like. Really weird kind of crap you wouldn't want emulated outside. That's why I think we get a generation of really fucked up kids watching this shit.
Talk about failed parenting experiments.
Yep.
So, next article is from Gizmodo. California officials admit to using license plate readers to monitor welfare recipients.
What?
Since 2016.
Hey. Huh? I was just going to say, they barcode fucking homeless in the UK. This is nothing.
That's true. We did do that story last week. Since 2016, Sacramento County officials have been accessing license plate reader data to track welfare recipients suspected of fraud, the Sacramento Bee reported over the weekend. The Sacramento County Department of Human Assistance Director Ann Edwards confirmed to the paper that welfare fraud investigators working under the DHEA have used the data for 2 years on a case-by-case basis. Edwards said that the DHEA pays about $5,000 annually for access to the database. Abbreviated LPR, license plate readers are essentially cameras that upload photographs of a searchable database of images of license plates. Each image captured by these cameras is annotated with the information of the registered owner, the make and model of the car, the time-stamped GPS data on where it was last spotted. To those with access, usually police, they can search the database using a full or partial license plate number, a date or time, year, model of a car, and so on. If a driver passed by an LPR four times throughout the city, an officer with access would know where and what time of day. Anyone with access to that data could use it to track where somebody drove and when, provided they were scanned by the LPR. The privacy concerns are obvious, as where people go reveals a lot about privileged information about them. For instance, they could be visiting the STI clinic, an immigration office, or a relative's home. Those are the examples you come up with? I mean, what about the guy who's going out there and visiting, like, Frederick's of Hollywood or Spencer's Gifts or someplace embarrassing? I mean, come on. Or, you know, the guy who goes to Denny's every other day. I mean, don't you think his health insurance information would like to know that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just for the Grand Slam.
No. The Grand Slamwich. It's even better.
I don't know why Denny's was the first thing that came to mind, but it was.
Or,
you know, the guy who goes to Waffle House. Yeah!
Yeah.
They just opened up a new one of those around here. So now
I had five double downs and two brownies.
God damn it. Now I have to go to, like, Awful Waffle tonight because it's all I'm going to think about.
Yeah, it's too bad Sard couldn't join us for that Linville enlightening comment.
This is fucked on so many ways or on so many levels. Like, what? Now, my question is, who says that they're stopping at collecting data on just people on
assistance? They're not. They're collecting this data on everybody who goes past one of these scanners, and they're just using it. They're paying for access to the database.
Yeah.
Oh, how much does it cost to access this database?
$5,000 a year, apparently.
And you have to have certain credentials.
So you'll need to fake them. Yeah. I'm like, that doesn't take long.
And those readers, they're not just stationary. You're usually driving through a Walmart with somebody with those readers just scanning license plates.
Jesus.
That's how they find a lot of people ditching warrants or child support or parking ticket fines.
Huh.
Go ahead.
You ever see where cops have booted a car? It's because someone's come around with a reader and that license plate came up, boot this car.
How much fun could you have getting into that database?
A lot.
There's somebody I don't like. Every car they own is getting booted.
Yeah. I mean, that really would be like 1995 all over again.
You're really taking the fun out of being a repo man at that point. Because you know where the car's going to be.
The fun of being a repo man is whenever the car's at such and such dude's house and he has a shotgun, that's not going to change.
Psychro says this can almost provide rudimentary psychopath-style information. Going to the bar daily at 11 a.m.?
Nothing wrong with that.
Not a thing. The use of
You seem distressed, sir. I am, of course, being distressed. I'm being beaten with a fucking baseball bat. that. I love that anime.
The use of these really invasive tools, which really bothers me, because we're talking about small amounts of money and people whom the main, who in the main are not actually committing fraud, Mike Harold, director of the Western Center on Law and Poverty, told the Sacramento Bee. I think we're only picking on a group of people who are extremely poor, and they want to create a perception with the public that there's a real big fraud problem with welfare programs. It's not immediately clear how travel patterns might reveal welfare fraud. As noted by the Electronic Frontier Foundation, welfare fraud is statistically speaking extremely rare. In 2012, DHA found only 500 cases of fraud among Sacramento's 193,000 recipients. Also in other news, Sacramento has 193,000 recipients on welfare in 2012. That's a lot of people on welfare, dude. I know California's populated, but shit.
Yeah, but that's 10. No, yeah, that's like 3% of the population of Sacramento.
Is it really? Damn, okay.
Yeah, they're like several million.
Following an inquiry from the EFF, the DHA has instituted a privacy policy that didn't exist before their initial inquiry, requiring investigators to justify each request of LPR data. The Sacramento Bee reports DHA has the DHA accessed the data over 2,000 times in 2 years. So, all right. Well, that's...
I'm actually looking up the population of Sacramento County.
I don't know if it's that many times in the number of years. I'm not sure if it's worth the subscription fee. I mean, if they're checking it more often.
Well.
Sacramento. Yeah, 1.5 million.
Okay,
for the city. Yeah.
I that's still a lot of, to me, in my head, that still sounds like a lot of people on welfare.
Yeah. Well, and it always does until you look at like the greater population and you're like, oh no, that's actually not that much.
So anyways,
it doesn't say what sort of welfare either, man.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Could be disability. It would taking a blanket of everything.
No, that's actually a really good point.
Welfare doesn't usually count as disability. When welfare is being mentioned, it's food stamps, Section 8.
Oh, okay.
But even then, though, that's still not, you know, you say welfare, you think, you know, the guy with no job who can't afford anything, as opposed to people who are just unemployed and struggling, or underemployed and struggling. So it's probably, you're right in that the number's probably not what I'm thinking. So that's fair. That's fair. I did have one last story, but we're going to skip it. It was basically Disney is getting sued for copyright infringement of Michael Jackson stuff. And their court case was arguing about, you know, free use and how people should be able to, you know, copyright law is too restrictive. And I just wanted to cover it because it was Disney arguing.
Disney?
But
the most litigious fucking mouse in the world.
Yeah.
Is complaining that shit isn't free?
I don't fuck you,
big-eared, no dick rhino faggot.
I'll throw the link in.
Where that came from?
I'll throw the link in, but I'm not going to read it on the air just because one, we're already over time, and two, it's not that interesting. It's just kind of ironic and funny.
And it's going to cause a dumpster fire.
Yeah, I could rail for the next hour on the fucking big-eared, no nose mouse.
Oh, absolutely. So we're just going to skip that story, but. And we're going to move on to this. So, anyways, I got two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo, but only one of which is actually software. And the first one's from 1,000 Days of Code. Social Mapper, a crazy ex-girlfriend's favorite tool.
This is great.
From the inception of the internet, people have been looking for ways to exploit systems to their own benefit. With the invention of Facebook, stalking became not only socially acceptable, but everyone's favorite pastime. When Web 2.0 hit the scene, a handful of people utilized search engines in order to glean information that was thought to be kept private. For example, Google Dorks are one of the simplest ways to simply pwn someone, as the script kiddies like to say. It put in just a couple of magic phrases and passwords galore come back. For example, after putting in the following phrase, three pages worth of files containing passwords came back. Oh, and it's in URL colon wp-config-backup.txt. It's awesome.
Okay, so when I do it, I'm a weirdo freak, but when normies do it, it's okay.
Apparently.
Fuck everyone thinks about this.
Oh, Cykros, I did see your message on that thing. I didn't get a chance to look at it. So I did see it, but I didn't get a chance to really poke at it some. And I may do it next week if I Cykros asked in the IRC if I saw the link he sent me on Reddit. I did. And I may poke at it some, but like I said, my tablet was doing updates all day yesterday, so I didn't get to play with it. as you can see, people love using computers in order to obtain information that would otherwise force you to get up from the couch. Now, with the advent of GitHub and open source packages, new tools give people what they want. Social Mapper is a computer program that takes in an image of a face and scours all social media platforms for pictures that resemble that face. So, for example, you suspect your spouse of cheating with one of your Facebook friends but are unable to find their Instagram or Twitter. Social Mapper is the tool for you. Just download a picture of them from Facebook, pop it in Social Mapper, and wait. And you will probably get back profiles from LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Instagram, VKontakte, Weibo, and Douban. There's a link to the GitHub. And
wow.
I'm pretty sure it's just using the Google image search. And they've even got instructions in here of grabbing the libraries you might need to make the Python script work. But, yeah, that's pretty much it. You give it a photo, it goes in, and it finds similar photos, or at least cropped versions of the same photo, and
so
tries to find all their accounts.
I wonder. So let's say you have a decent resolution video still of someone who may have stolen your car.
Might work.
If you throw this into, you throw that picture into this, I wonder if that would work.
Well, in some of their examples, they're pulling back photos that are pretty similar, and I didn't look at it. I'm wondering what it's using. Because it's got to be hitting one of the cloud, machine learning links.
Yeah.
But because some of the pictures, like the ones of Bill Gates, it's basically finding the same picture over and over again. But the ones of Torvalds, it's, finding different pictures of Linus Torvalds. Of course, I'm also wondering if, they've kind of, picked ones that they knew would work as opposed to ones.
Yeah.
Because, overweight bald man with glasses might match a lot of people who aren't your target. So,
yeah, and and an essay with a fucking hat on.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, a short story with a hat on might match several people.
But anyways, the rest of the article's got some a good write up on the pip modules you need, the package in case you need to install any extra libraries to get it going, and it'll start trying to come back with different profiles based on the photos. So I thought it was fun. I don't know how much I would trust it. I would double check any results you get back off of it. And the last thing I have for us tonight in Digital Dojo is an article from the EFF by Cory Doctorow, and it's kind of long, and it's not really great for reading on the air because there's not really, we could discuss it, but it's not, of course it's opinionated, but it's pretty much going on to how there's not actually any kind of government protection for companies against people talking about vulnerabilities or finding the technology, but they're still finding ways to sue people for it and shut people up for it. So it's an interesting read. It's worth your time, but it's not. I wouldn't take it as gospel. I would take it as a good point to start at. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For understanding.
Yeah.
Some of the points he's making, but and it's a doctoral article, so you can take that for what you will. But I thought it was good enough to point out here. But I there's nothing really. It's not worth reading on the show because there's nothing to really, point out or discuss or And trying to, it's too long to just read it and then do a discussion topic on it,
Yeah.
So I thought I would throw it in here, and it seems like a good read and a good starting point for some of these arguments. But that's all I've got for tonight. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site and the subreddit, the IRC. Tonight in the IRC, we had Psychros, Psychros, Iron Angel, Madman, and the real Psychros.
God damn it.
Go ahead, RU. Closing thoughts.
But how many Psychroses there are in the world?
Three, apparently.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, check out a movie called Upgrade. Cyberpunk as hell. It is fantastic. You'll love it. Upgrade. And looks like spider problem has been solved, just if anybody was following along.
So, just out of curiosity, how many experience points did you get for the spider?
Oh, I got 12, dude. I took one of its legs. Savage. Everyone sees a seven-legged spider out there on the travels, point and laugh. Go, you just got beaten, motherfucker. No, it's alive. Like, we had a tussle. I had to get a bigger bucket at one point. Is it wrong that I, you know, I'm like fucking looking at it. It's looking at me, and all I can hear is "Let's get ready to rumble" in my head.
No, that seems about accurate to me. Yeah. Then you know, pull out the D20, and the spider's confused as you're rolling for initiative.
I think it was very confused, but yeah, spider problem solved. All it's right,
Madman, closing thoughts.
So, in keeping with our last few weeks of discussing alternatives to YouTube and Facebook and stuff, I actually found a couple.
Oh, cool.
Go for it.
There's one called a BitChute. I've watched two videos on it.
BitChute.
Okay.
Is a kind of a BitTorrent YouTube. So while you're watching a video, whatever you've already loaded and buffered, you're now streaming to someone else.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a really... Looks like it's going to be a good platform. Just a heads up, Vimeo have been banning people lately, so don't hold your hopes for them.
There it is. I found it.
Binds is supposed to be kind of a cross between Facebook and YouTube, so if you want to, like, Mind's Eye Theater or something, that might be a platform-ish to do it on. And Gab was a Twitter substitute I've stumbled across.
Madman does his homework.
Madman, shoot me links to this stuff. I'll throw them in show notes. And are you that movie, too, if you have a link to that movie or about that movie?
I don't have a link. I won't give you a link to the movie. I'm not going to get us in the realm of piracy.
Yeah. That's not what I meant.
But I will send you a link of the trailer.
Yeah, there we go. I'll get that stuff in the show notes if you guys send me those links. All right, Syntax, close this out, man.
Okay, a couple of things. One, if someone hands you a PCB dick butt, do not add power to it and hit the button on the back because everyone within 50 yards falls offline. That's the first one. Second one is when a goon asks for your badge, don't scream, "We don't need no fucking badges," and tear off running. Because they'll fucking catch you. That's it.
Okay.
And some of you will understand that last one.
I don't know. I had my badge at all the cons I've gone to.
Well, I had my badge, too. I just thought it was fucking funny.
It's like, I thought the man was fat and needed some damn cardio. I let him catch me.
Yeah, I also thought it was funny because of where I live. And, you know, I may have said it with a mildly offensive accent.
Nice. All right.
They're actually faster than you would think.
A human can outrun a horse when properly motivated. Just not for very long.
Oh, fuck, I'm testing this.
Yeah, I still thought I could run faster scared than he could mad. I was wrong.
I quote Discworld. I quote Discworld, and RU says, "Oh, I'm testing this." That's awesome.
How much motivation?
Well, it was a wizard running for his life. He fully admitted he couldn't outrun the horse for very long, but he could, in fact, outrun a horse.
So honestly, next year we need to do pure decking live from DEF CON.
I'm afraid somebody might die.
No one has died at DEF CON for years.
We'll just limit the amount of alcohol Bit can drink. We'll be fine.
Oh,
yeah, it'll be fine.
Like, no, you can't try to keep pace with someone three times your size. Mass matters when it comes to blood alcohol content.
It does.
All right, let's close this stuff out here.
Oh, shoot. Man, I'm sorry about this. I hope this doesn't ruin your day.